Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
Yes, it's all right.
Yes, this should do. Are you all right, Maria?
I can look after myself.
Oh, that means she is all right.
Is it safe to stop here, Joseph?
Yes, I think so. We have a good view of the valley, and the partisans set up their mortar positions. It will be over there, about 100 meters below us.
I hope they didn't spot us climbing up here.
No. Their eyes will be on the battle as the Germans in the valley.
So much for this route being the quickest to Rajak Pass. We could be forced to hide up here for days.
Well, we'll just have to make the best of it.
We should rest now and after dark make our way down to the other side of the hill. By tomorrow morning, we'll be far to the north.
That's what I was thinking. Can you bring yourself to agree with that, Maria?
It's better than waiting up here.
Is it worth us taking turns to stand guard?
I think that a good sleep is more important, Paul. The partisans won't bother climbing this high.
Right, so let's go and get some shut-eye. It was only the second day of our journey through Yugoslavia towards Rajak Pass, where I was to meet up with a large column of escaped prisoners of war and internees who were fleeing west under the command of Major Ramsden. My mission was to stop them from entering the pass and divert them to the coast farther north, where they would be picked up by a flotilla of small boats. It was believed at Allied command that they would be bottled up in the pass and forced to surrender, as there was no way out of the Adriatic from there. However, I'd heard that some of the peasants in the sparsely populated area did know of a way to the sea from there. I was accompanied by two Yugoslavs who were employed by Allied intelligence services. Their task was to guide me, which was a good idea in theory, but in practice I found they didn't like one another, and their advice was always conflicting. Worse, I suspected one of them of treachery, since the moment we were ambushed when landing on the coast. Some 80 miles to the north, Major Ramsden's column had occupied a small village called Komasek, which had been found deserted. After resting the night, they had come under mortar and small arms fire from a partisan group for no explainable reason. Worse, some 15 kilometers to his rear was a battalion of Waffen-SS under Major Gunter Scheer, who had orders to wipe them out or effect a surrender from Major Ramsden. Luckily, Major Scheer took a cynical view of his assignment and had decided to wait until the 200-strong group of ex-prisoners had trapped themselves in Rajak Pass. For our part, we had walked into an ambush of German troops by a large group of communist partisans under the leadership of Pubček. The Germans had been sweeping the low hills in an attempt to push the partisans into a corner, but instead they had marched into a trap. We had fled to higher ground, where we hoped neither side would bother us. As I lay back and tried to sleep, I wondered how Major Ramsden was managing his ragtag army, a mixture of British, Russian, Poles, French, and a single American officer. Not to mention some 50-odd women, and at least 20 small children who had been released from internment camps when their German guards had panicked in the face of the Russian advance from the east.
Well, it's all over except the shouting, Major.
Good. But I'd like to know why the partisans took it into their heads to attack us.
You'll know soon. The Russians took notice of your orders and stopped shooting their prisoners. And Dmitri's just walked into the village with six of them.
Fine. It's necessary to make friends with these people, not to fight them. Any casualties on our side?
Oh, not bad, Major. two Russians and a Pole wounded, and one of the ladies got hysterical when a mortar shell hit a neighboring cottage.
I suppose Lady Agnes Collier is fit?
Yeah. And running around like a mother hen with her chickens.
Go and see Dmitri and find out if any of the prisoners speak good English. If not, I'll have to find an interpreter.
Well, Lady Agnes speaks all the Balkan languages fluently.
I'd rather not know, Captain Saunders. Heaven forbid we should ever have to use her.
You're right. That saves me the trouble. It's Dmitri.
Hello, Major. I brought this Kulak to see you. He says he speaks good English.
Very good, Dmitri. Sit him down in that chair.
No, he will talk better standing up.
The chair, please, Dmitri.
Now, you see this man, eh? Kulak? He's our commander. If you do not do what he tells you, he will give you to me. And you know what I will do, huh? Kulak? I will put a bullet right between your big ears.
All right, Dmitri, that's quite enough. What's your name?
Kovacs. Alexander Kovacs, sir.
Where do you come from?
Komasek. This village was my home.
You speak very good English. Where did you learn it?
I was a student in Belgrade before the Germans came. I learned some English there, and then I learned to speak it better from Colonel Brewster.
Colonel Brewster?
A British military intelligence officer, sir. He used to arrange for the delivery of weapons to my partisan group. I was his assistant.
And where is this officer now?
He was killed in a German ambush 6 months ago.
I see. Where are the other people from this village?
They have gone into the hills, sir.
Why?
We had information that a battalion of Germans were coming this way.
Do we look like Germans?
No.
Then why did you attack us?
You are a strong force.
And you are suspicious of strong forces?
Yes.
You would have been wiser to have talked first instead of shooting. A lot of men have died. All of them your own.
It was to protect our homes.
From what? We were only passing through. It's us the Germans are after.
Who are you? You are all mixed up. You are English, yes?
Yes, Major Ramsey.
Then I see Russians, Polish, and others I do not recognize.
But we are all fighting for the same cause, Kovacs. These men have escaped or have been released from prisoner war camps because of the Russian advance into Yugoslavia.
Why do the Russians not go to join their army in the east?
You can answer that question, Dmitri.
We prefer to stay here until the fighting is finished. Then we will go home.
And we appreciate the help of you and your men. Now, Kovacs, you're a member of a partisan group. Which one?
Our leader was Argon Korons.
Was?
He was killed in today's fight. By your Russians.
What are your politics?
We support the Republican movement.
The communists?
No, sir. We are a separate political group. We are against the royalists and the communists.
What a strange country it is. Look, who's going to lead your group now?
I was second in command.
How strong are you?
Excluding the men we lost today, about 75 men and women.
It's a pity we had to fight each other, Kovacs, but the blame lies with your leader. I would rather that we were friends.
I know that now.
Can it still be so?
Many men have died. Some of the group will be angry, even when they know it is our own fault.
I will send you and the other prisoners back to your people. Tell them that we come in friendship. As their new leader, I'm sure they'll listen to you.
I will do my best, sir.
We're not concerned in your politics. Our only objective is to get safely to Rajak Pass. Your people are welcome to come down to the village to bury their dead and to meet us. Tomorrow we'll continue our march westward.
It will be safe for them to come here?
You have my word, Kovacs. But after we leave, the Germans will pass through, and it will be as well for them to hide again until they've passed.
I should thank you, Major.
Captain Saunders, will you take Kovacs to his men and release them?
I will do it.
No, you stay here, Dmitri. I want to talk to you in private.
I hope to see you again before you leave, Major.
Yes, perhaps there is a way we can help one another to make up for this morning's foolishness. Right, Captain Saunders.
Come on.
Please close the door behind you.
Sir.
You are angry with me, Mark?
Yes, Dmitri, I am angry. When will you realize it's better to make friends than enemies?
A man that shoots at me is an enemy.
It is better to find out first why he is shooting at you.
You ordered me to attack the partisan.
But I did not order you to kill the prisoners. It's the quickest way to earn the hatred of those who might be our friends. This is the second time it's happened, and I want no more of it if you wish to remain under my command.
Yes, Major. I will tell my men to be as gentle as stretcher bearers.
Dmitri, please, you're aggravating me. I want them to fight as they have been doing, each one a hero. All I ask is that they display mercy to the man who holds up his hands and asks for it.
I understand, Major.
Here we are, marching through a strange country like a band of brigands of old, only vaguely knowing what's to become of us. Prisoners can be useful, Dmitri. They can tell us things we don't know. The Germans that you wanted to shoot the day before yesterday, from them I learned that a full battalion of Waffen-SS are moving up to attack us. Useful information, Dmitri.
Did he tell you why the Germans swim and fish in the river 15 kilometers away and do not try to attack us, huh?
No. That's a mystery yet to be solved. But take this man, Kovacs. What good would a bullet in his head have done? His group might have harassed us all the way into Rajek Pass. But now it's possible we've made friends. They might even harass the Waffen-SS instead.
I'm sorry, Major. Yes, you are right. I know. All right. For the future, I will see that prisoners are taken and not mistreated.
Good. Then the lecture's over.
Now, do you wish me then to move my men back to keep a watch on the Germans? Perhaps they are tired of camping at the river.
Well, Lieutenant Brzezinski's there. Well, look, yes, after taking some rest, you can go and relieve him.
My men can snipe at them from higher ground.
No, Dmitri. Look, if the Germans are enjoying themselves, leave them be. If you start shooting, they might start moving closer, which is the last thing we need. Just watch and avoid contact. Don't even let them know you're there.
Woke with a start. Joseph was close to me, looking down at the valley floor far below. All I could hear was the occasional crackle of small arms fire. A quick glance at my watch told me it was a little after 6. It would be dark soon. Close by, Maria slept the sleep of the innocent. Or was it? I moved in beside Joseph and watched. It was difficult to see what was happening and who was mopping up who. A pall of smoke still clung to the valley floor from where the partisans had burned the ground, forcing the Germans under the range of their mortars earlier that morning. Now there seemed to be little movement.
I saw a large group of partisans moving down there about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah? Who won?
Oh, the partisans, of course. In these hills, numerical superiority means very little. Pavchek prepared his trap and his victims marched straight into it. The Germans never seem to learn from experience.
What will happen now?
Well, the Germans will have had no chance to reform. Instead, they will be in groups all trying to get back to the road. Pavchek's men will follow them all the way, mopping them up, and very few will escape.
Well, as long as it keeps the partisans busy, I don't mind. And then they won't get in my way. Why is Maria so angry all the time?
Please, you should know, Paul.
Because we made love at Ubak's place?
Yes. And now you ignore her.
But she must realize this isn't some kind of a country outing. We can't
be... Who can tell how a woman's mind works? Men have spent lifetimes trying to understand. But it is better that you do not. Do not get so close to her again.
Well, I am trying to avoid it, you know. It all happened in a moment of weakness.
I understand. She's very beautiful. And just as dangerous.
Yes, I realize that now. I could never see her in the same way since she killed Ubak.
It was a terrible thing to do. And you must ask yourself the real reason why.
Because she believed Ubak would give us away to the Germans.
You believe that?
Well, what else am I to believe?
Is it not possible that she killed him because she knew Ubak was really an important agent for the Allies here?
So you mean that Maria could be in German pay?
It is possible. How did the Germans know where we were landing? Somebody told them.
Look, we've been over this before, Joseph. It could just as easily have been you.
But I know that I didn't. That is the difference between us. And if it was not me, then it could only have been Maria.
Or Ubak.
You think it could have been Ubak?
In all honesty, no. He'd proved his worth and loyalty a thousand times over.
Which brings you back to Maria.
You hate her, don't you?
Only for what I think she is.
She seems to think you're the one who betrayed us.
To divert suspicion from herself.
But you understand my position? I can't accuse you on the basis of what she thinks. And equally so, I can't accuse her on your suspicions. But whichever of you it is, a mistake will be made. And then I'll know.
And what will you do?
I know the rules. But what I don't quite understand is, well, if one of you is a German agent, what's to stop him or her killing the other two? That would bring my assignment to an end.
Please, please, no more. Maria is waking up.
Yeah.
It will soon be time for us to move, Maria.
What time is it?
It's nearly 6:30.
There is very little shooting. Who won?
It looks like the partisans.
Oh, a pity in a way. Pavchek and his group have become too big, too powerful.
You would prefer the Germans to win?
No, but it would be good if Pavchek took a bad mauling. While he is alive, there will be no real peace in Yugoslavia. Oh. I still feel as tired as when I went to sleep. There is a lot of smoke down there.
The fire has nearly burnt itself out.
Can we eat before we go?
Yeah, good idea.
Let me get it for you. We will have to look for more food soon. The supply Ubak gave us is running low.
I looked at Maria and shook my head. It was as though she had woken up a different person. The bitterness had left her voice, and she seemed as bright as when we'd left Italy, which already seemed like a century ago. She opened a tin of beans and another of corned beef, and then unwrapped some bread and biscuits from some wax paper and made some crude sandwiches. For a while, one could have believed it was a picnic. And then soon the valleys filled with darkness as the sun went down behind the western mountains, and we began our descent. It would take us to a valley 3 miles from where the battle had taken place. Well, anyway, that was the plan. At that time, Major Ramsden watched in pleasant surprise from the steps of his headquarters as a long file of villagers passed through the perimeter guards and dispersed to the cottages that had been their homes. Behind them came a group of men, rifles slung over their shoulders, carrying the dead of that morning's fracas. As they came into the village, they looked about them with open suspicion, as though fearing a trap. But Ramsden's people remained silent and merely curious. The bodies were placed in a barn-like building, ready for burial the next day. And then in came a long column of men led by Kovacs. They cautiously passed the perimeter sentries and came to a halt outside Major Ramsden's headquarters.
Major, sir. I am glad to see you brought your people in before nightfall.
It was a long and difficult meeting. Many feared a trap, revenge for our attack on you this morning.
They have nothing to fear from us. And these are your men, eh?
Well, 57 men, including myself, and 23 women, all widows or single girls.
They fight like men?
Like men, sir. But they still love like women.
Yes, of course.
Many were trained by Colonel Brewster.
To fight, of course.
Oh, yes, sir, to fight.
And all the people come from Komasek?
Oh, no. From all the villages in the hills as far away as Debesnik. All who want to fight against the Germans and support the Republican cause.
What will they do now?
There are Germans close to here. We will attack them.
Kovac, I'd rather they didn't. Not just yet. I've just had to stop my Russians from doing that.
Yes, but why, Major?
I'd prefer the Germans to stay where they are. You could attack them when they try to occupy this village, like you did to us this morning.
We were not very successful.
Oh, fortunately. Look, join me for a bite to eat later. I think Captain Saunders and I can offer you a few useful tips.
Yes, we have plenty of automatic weapons. As you see, we have Brenns, Sten guns. But the men would prefer to use their rifles.
Yeah, well, then they'd do well to change their ideas. You can't beat automatic weapons.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, if I were you, Kovacs, I'd start getting your men to use them as soon as possible. I mean, no wonder you were overrun this morning. Dmitri's men were using captured German Schmeissers.
Yes, most effective weapons.
Excuse me, sir. The Russian officer wants to see you.
Send him in, son.
Something must be happening.
Ah, Dmitri, come and join us. Take a seat. Look, there's some wine over there.
My men, Major. I came to tell you the Germans are ready to move.
Are you sure?
They are loading the truck.
But not actually on the move.
No, not when I left. Perhaps not until the morning.
I can't see them traveling by night with all that equipment. The road's little more than a mud track.
No, we can delay them if they move. On the way here, I look closely for a place where we can surprise them. It is less than 2 kilometers from where they were camped.
It's a pity we've got no mines.
We have mines.
Yeah, how many?
100.
Wonderful. Look, can you let us have some, Kovacs? About 30 would do.
They are all yours, Major. I will get my men to help lay them.
That's damn sporting of you, Kovacs. Dmitri, you have your wish. Look, can I leave you to organize a suitable ambush?
It will be a pleasure, Major.
Get hold of Lieutenant Brzezinski and have his men help you. Let me see, you'll be about 50 strong. Yes, that's plenty. Look, keep to the high ground.
Yes, I know what to do, Major.
Of course, Dmitri. Captain Saunders, will you take charge of laying the mines? Put them, say, half a kilometer ahead of where Dmitri sets his ambush.
Yes, sir.
Look, he can drive them forward into the mined area. They won't be expecting anything like that.
Yeah, but what if they start moving off under cover of darkness?
For the life of me, I can't see why they should. No, Saunders, I'll stake my life on it.
With all due respect, sir, you might be.
Oh, you are a pessimist. But look, if they do move off before the mines are laid, Dmitri, I'll expect you to fight a fierce rearguard action.
Of course, Major.
And send someone back here to give me good warning.
Yes.
Because it'll take me at least a couple of hours to get this lot here on the road.
If you will allow, my men will help by guarding your rear.
You really are an excellent fellow, Kovacs. Will they agree?
They will agree if it means fighting Germans.
Very well. Apart from the men you send to lay the mines, the rest of your group will temporarily fall under my command. Very well. Shall we be about our business?
Captain, let me show you where the mines are hidden.
Joseph, where are you?
He's not here. He was a little ahead of us.
Where the hell he's got to now? Joseph!
Over here.
Where?
Just off the track.
What is it?
Down here on the ground. Look. Three bodies.
Well, whose are they?
No. Don't flash a light.
I just want to see.
Please don't. I stumbled over one of them. The German soldiers.
German?
German. Their hands are tied behind them. And they've been shot in the back of their heads.
The objects, man?
Yes. It can't have happened more than half an hour ago. The bodies just still warm.
That means the partisans could be close by? Yes. Come on. Let's get off the track and back onto higher ground.
Yes, it would be better
Carney
if we...
Get down!
Carney Marty, sir! Carney Marty!
Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dotman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.